Good day, everyone, and welcome to the WebSphere Support Technicals Exchange conference call. Today's call is being recorded. Now for introductions, I would like to turn the call over to Mr. Shazam Shigani. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Angelina, and welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is IBM WebSphere Adapter for Siebel Business Applications. If you have not yet joined the e-meeting, please do so now. The e-meeting URL is available on the WebSphere Technical Exchange site. Today's webcast will include a platform presentation. Once you're in the meeting, you will see the presentation. We recommend that you view the presentation in full screen mode. To do this, go to the view in the toolbar at the top of your screen, select makeshift area, full screen. If you're unable to access the e-meeting at this time, or if you'd like to download a copy of the presentation, please go to the WebSphere Technical Exchange site and click on today's presentation title. The document that displays will contain the PDF file. You may also access the presentation by going to any IBM.com site and typing the tech doc number 7010346 in the search box found at the very top of the page. Once again, the number is 7010346. This call is being recorded, so you can play it at your convenience. Early next week, the MP3 file along with the presentation will be available on the previous webcast tab of the WebSphere Technical Exchange site. During the presentation, all lines will be muted. After the presentation, I will ask you to respond to a few quick polling questions. At the end of today's sessions, the lines will open for a question and answer period. Today's presenter is Damu Velaswamy. Damu has been working in WebSphere process integration support for the past 3 years. In this role, he is responsible for providing solutions to clients on issues they report. He works closely with the development team to provide product and quality enhancements required by his customers and places focus on ensuring his clients are very satisfied with support that they receive. At this time, I'd like to turn the call over to Damu.
Hello, everybody. Welcome, and thanks for joining today's presentation. Without no further ado, let me start the presentation. I'm going to start with the agenda, and I'm on slide number 2. I'm going to go over the architecture of the Siebel adapter and tooling and the ESD, which generates the EMD, and event manager for inbound operations, adapter installation, configuration of the inbound and outbound process, adapter deployment, and finally the error handling and problem determination. At the end, I'll open it for the Q&A. I'm going to move to the next slide, slide number 4. Here, I'm going to talk about the Siebel application overview. Siebel application architecture is like a layered structure, and it has 3 layers: user interface object layer, business object layer, and data object layer. User interface layer is the user, what they see. So if you are a Siebel user and you are entering data through the Siebel application UI, the objects, whatever you see, is the user interface layer, for example, screen, view, applets, and fields. And VO layer, which is like a middle layer, this lies between the UI layer and the data object layer. As Siebel recommends not to make any change or do any operations directly to the data object layer. So we do everything in the VO layer. Even later part of the presentation, we are going to configure some of the objects like a business object, business component. And moving on to the data object layer, which are like the real schemas, like tables, columns. Business object and business components are nothing but like in an object-oriented, it is a building blocks for the Siebel application. They are tied to specific data and the tables in the Siebel data model. Adapter uses the Siebel Java API, which was provided by Siebel Data Bean to communicate with the Siebel Object Manager. Siebel Data Bean exposes these business objects like business object, business component, and business services, which we are going to use it for our integration. I would also recommend to check at the info center, at the support site for the Siebel application versions which are supported. Our adapter supports various versions of the Siebel application. Moving on to slide number 4. Siebel Business Service Overview. Siebel Business Service is, again, like objects in an object-oriented programming, which encapsulates set of functionalities and contains methods and parameters. So any of the external processes or even the Siebel workflow can call and achieve some of the functionalities. So by using the Siebel Business Services, it simplifies the usage and the operation. As I said, Business Services has the properties and methods, so you pass arguments to invoke the method. You can invoke the method, particular method on objects, but these methods are not specific to any object, unlike the Siebel business object and business component. There are various types of business services, generic business services, custom business services, and application business services. To give example, generic business services, which is EAI Siebel adapter, application business services, Siebel account, Siebel contact, and custom business services, which the customly developed at the customer end. So the Siebel adapter support all these type of business services, but the limitation is it supports only the business services which are based on the classes that are supported. I would again suggest to look at the info center for the supported business classes, but I have also given some examples here. So in the bottom of the slide, CSS, EAI, data sync services, and so on. Moving on to the next slide, I'm on slide number 5. This is adapter architecture overview. What we see in the screen is the EAS is the Siebel Siebel EAS, the Siebel application, and we have the Siebel DataBean API, which I referred a little bit before, which exposes the business object, Siebel business component, and the Siebel business services. And the next one is the adapter, Siebel adapter, which contains two major components, which are base classes, and the Siebel WebSphere adapter for Siebel business application. There are two main interfaces on the JCI adapter, which one is the SPA and the CCA. SPA service provider interface is the application server view of the adapter, which contains contracts necessary to work with the app server. For example, connection creation, matching, security, and work management. CCA common client interface is designed to provide a common view of data and interaction with the adapter. CCA defines the data model and provides a common mechanism to interact with the adapter. So the adapter transmits the inbound events to various predefined endpoints. To give example, J2E applications, other client consumers of the events. So this is the high-level adapter architecture overview. I'm going to move on to the next slide.
Before going to the next chart, if you cannot join the e-meeting, you can still access the presentation by going to ibim.com and typing 701-0346 in the search box found at the very top of the page. A technical document or PDF will display. We are now moving on to slide 6. Thank you. I'll now return the presentation back to Damu.
Thanks, Yashan. So on the slide 6, it's EMD. EMD is nothing but Enterprise Metadata Discovery. Actually, I'm going to talk about the ESD wizard. So ESD wizard consists of two components, which is EMD implementation and the EAI tooling and JC adapter. So when running the ESD wizard, which generates the service component artifacts and the business objects for the interface, We can select the metadata of the Siebel EAS in this case, but if you use any other adapter, you can choose any other objects of the EAS or the database. So this EST generates the deployable service objects and descriptions. The metadata is transformed into the STO service data object consisting like business graphs and business objects. So what you can do using the ESD, you can generate the business objects, set EASI application-specific information on WebSphere business objects and WebSphere business object properties, also provides connection description for inbound and outbound events, also provides service description for inbound and outbound events. Moving on to the next slide. I'm on slide number 7, creating the event component. This is the event component which is required for the inbound operation. So in your interface design, if you have the inbound operation, then we need to create this event component. We create the event component at the Siebel end, Siebel EAS end, and later the adapter going to pull this component to get the events. So the first step is we are going to use the Siebel tools to perform all these operations. Siebel tools has wizard. We have to create a project in case if it's a totally a new project. If you have already interface running, then we might be having projects already, so we can use the project as well. So log the project and create the event table. Create the event table. This is the table we are going to use it for our interface, and it's going to store the event records for the adapter to pull. When you use the wizard and create the table, the tools automatically creates the table name CX underscore, and we can name the table as IBM events. In case if you have multiple adapters, then we need to create multiple tables. So we can create CX IBM events 1, events 2, like as many tables as we want. And once we created the table, we have to create the event table columns. I have given the listed the column names in the side. But the details are in the info center, so the column names and the data type and the data size are given in the info center. I would recommend to refer there. Once we have the table and columns, the next step is to create the business component. I'm naming the business component here IBM Events. So the business component is nothing but the middle layer, which we talked about, business object layer. Component, and we are directly not going to interact with the tables. We are going to interact with the business components. So this IBM events business component is like a business object layer based on the IBM events table. Once we have this business component created, then we are going to map all the fields to the single value field. once we have this business component ready, then we are going to map it to the business object. In case if we don't have the IBM event business object, then we need to create the business object and associate the business component into the business object. Moving on to next slide. I'm on slide number 8, and this is the continuation of the event component creation. So create the Siebel business object. So I'm naming, in this example, I'm naming as IBM events and associating the business component to the business object. Once we have this, we have all the schemas ready. Now we have to configure the UI layer. Why we need the UI layer? In case later if we want to see the events or if we need to do any operations at the Siebel UI front, then we need to create the user interface layer. So user interface layer, the first step is to create the applets based on the business component just now we have created. Once we have the applet created, so in the applet, you have to have all the single-value fields which are mapped into the business component. Have the applet mapped to the view, so you can use it as a list view. I'm naming it as event list view in this example, which is based upon the business object we have created, the IBM event business object. Once we have this one, then we have to associate the view into the screen. In this example, I'm using the IBM event screen and associate the view, event list view, which we have created now. Once we have this one, then we are ready to add the screen into the menu. I have given the navigation steps here. So go to the application, whatever application you're using it, using like call center, or in this case I'm using the Siebel Sales Enterprise. So go to the screen menu and add a new record at the IBM events screen which you have created. Once we have this one, we are done with the UI creation. So all this configuration are going to be in the repository. Now we have to make the physical changes, meaning creating the table in the backend database. So apply the schema changes of the event table. So it's going to create the table at the backend. And it won't be ready to use, so you have to activate it. Once you activate it, it will be ready to use. Add the next step is adding the script which really puts when the objects are created, when the records are created at the Siebel front, it will trigger this script and store the event records in the event component which we have created. We have given the examples, so it should be in the sample folder. Now, also I would advise to take help of the Siebel administrator, because I'm sure a lot of installation they'll have the script, so take help how to add these scripts with the existing script. So use the sample script for your testing, and place the Siebel VB or E scripts under the business components. Say for example, if you are using Siebel account, Siebel contact, place all the scripts under the Siebel account business component and the contact business component. And if there is any like child business component, for example address, then you need to have the script as well with the address business component. Once you have the script, then it will trigger the event notification and it stores the event into the event component. Now we are ready to compile the repository. So all these changes will be stored into the Siebel SRF file, and add this new repository to the application, so it will use the new changes, new configuration at the runtime. Moving on to next slide. I'm on slide number 9. Here's the roadmap for the adapter installation, configuration, and deployment. I'm not going to go into detail because in the upcoming slides we are going to see in detail of each steps. So there are three major steps. One is, the first one is installing the adapter. You would perform this this step using the adapter installer or the silent installation mode. So once you install the adapter, you'll get a RAR file. You're going to in the next step, you're going to configure the adapter. You would perform this step using the WebSphere integration developer vid. So you have to import the RAR file into the vid, and you would follow the steps to configure, and at the end you will generate the ER file. The last step is to deploying the ER file. Once you have the ER file, then you will deploy that ER file into the application server. You can either do through the admin console or the command line. We are going to see the details in the upcoming slides. I'm going to move to the next slide. Okay, I'm on slide number 10. Installing and configuring the adapter in vid, WebSphere Integration Developer. In this step, installation steps are same for all WebSphere adapters. You can either do by UI or the silent mode installation. The result is it's going to generate the RAR file, which will be copied into the default folder. There is a folder cbl/deploy, and the file name will be cbl.rar file. And configuring the adapter, once you have the RAR file, you're going to import that file into the vid, and you add the external dependency files. When I'm saying about the external dependency files for the Siebel application, we have various sets of dependency files, so it depends on which Siebel application version you are using. In case you are using 7.7, it has two different jar files. Or if you are using 7.5 or earlier versions, it's going to have three different jar files. So please do check at the info center for the dependency jar files you need to import. Once you have the dependency files added, then you are going to run the ESD, Enterprise Service Discovery Wizard, to generate the business objects for inbound and outbound operations. The result is you are going to generate the business objects and also the import-export files. Those are the WSDL files. So after this, you are going to complete the SCA assembly, which is like a binding. The bindings create the reference from the adapter project to a standalone reference for inbound event processing. The standalone reference, meaning it represents a generic J2EE component such as application server. By doing this wiring, you're going to link the adapter to other server processes. Once we are done with this one, we are ready to export the ER file to deploy onto the server. We can also do the testing using the test component at the WebSphere Integration Developer. I'm going to move to the next slide. I'm on slide number 11, configuration properties. I'm going to go a little bit detail here because these are the key area we configuring the adapter. So first, let's take a look at the outbound processing, and next we'll go to the inbound processing. First, when we set up the adapter, we are going to, the first option is setting the connection properties. Here we'll be specifying the connect string, which connects to the Siebel application, and language code, username, and password. Language code, since Siebel application supports multilingual, you have to specify which language you're going to use. For example, if it is English, then ENU is the code. And also the username password, which is the adapter going to use it to log in into the EAS, Siebel EAS. Siebel metadata type, as I said before, adapter is going to replace the metadata and do the integration. We have two different types. One is Siebel Business Services or Siebel Business Objects. So you have to choose either of them. And based on the rest of the configuration will be done. So Siebel repository, you have to specify the Siebel repository name. By default, it is Siebel repository. In case if it is changed, you have to get it from the administrator and specify the exact name here. Selecting business objects or business services, you have to run a query to choose appropriate the object. For example, select the business service or the business component by Siebel account or Siebel contact, whichever is you are going to interface with. Once you have that, we are going to generate the artifacts by specifying the service type, whether inbound or outbound. And also we can specify the namespace. I would at least suggest to go with the default one at the initial. Enter the BO location, so where the BO is to generate. And we can create the new module by specifying the module name. Once we're done with that, we have to specify the folder name where the generated import and WSDL files are stored. Once we have that one, we have to specify the properties for the adapter, adapter ID, for example, resource adapter, and configure the log file and trace file. So you would be specifying the file size, file name, where to spool the log file, and also the number of log files, say like a 1 or 5. The same as log file, we are going to do for the trace file. Trace file size, trace file name, where you want to spool the trace file, and the number of trace files you want to generate. Once we have that one, the last option is to check the ResNet support. This is one of the key property for this and a specific property for the Siebel adapter. What this ResNet support means, the values you can set is either true or false. When it is true, the ResNet support is true, adapter is going to make the connection in a different fashion. So it establishes the connection at the first event, and it will do the attach to process the event, and once it's done, then it's going to detach. When the next event comes, it's going to use the same connection to process the next event. So it does the attach, and once it's done, it's going to again detach. So it's going to use the same connection again and again. If the property is set to false, when the first event comes, it's going to use the open a new connection. Once it's done, it's going to close the connection. When the next event comes, it's going to open again a new connection. So you have to choose based on your requirement. For example, if you have like a large volume, then it is better to have true, so it won't open new connection each time. In case it's a low volume scenario, it is a good idea to have the faults, so it's going to open a new connection. So you will save from the timeout and all the exceptions. And the last property is the view mode. This is going to give you the access for the adapter for the all the views that we have created. Next step is configuring for the inbound processing. This is going to be same as the outbound processing. The only difference is you will be specifying the event component name, which we have seen in detail how to create the event component. So you have to specify the component name which we have created, where the adapter is going to pull and get the events. I'm going to move to the next slide. I'm on slide number 12, deploying in WebSphere process server. So once we have configured and we generated the ER file, we can deploy that file onto the WPS, that's WebSphere process server. The first step is to add the dependency jar files in the WebSphere process server class path. You had to do this one in case you have not done adding this with the RAR file. And add the ER file which you got it from the previous step, and deploy that onto the process server. You can do either by the admin console or WSAdmin, the command line tool. Once you have installed the ER file, continue through the installation steps, because there are various steps you need to pass and go to the finish step and save to master configuration file. Once you do that, your application is in the WPS, WebSphere process server. And if you need to make any change for any of the properties you have configured before, then you can do that as well here. Custom RAR properties or manage connection factory for outbound process and activation spec for the inbound process. Once you've done the changes, then you can start the application using the admin console or the command line tool, WSAdmin. Now we have the interface application running and ready to trigger the events. So as I said before, you can also do the testing part before doing the deployment into the server, the process server. So you can do that at the WebSphere integration developer. That bid itself, it has a integration test client tool where you will be deploying the ER file and run your test. It's always a recommended approach to do the testing before deploying into the process server. Moving on to next slide. I'm on slide number 13. This is the outbound properties, outbound operation properties, managed connection factory properties. We have seen these properties in detail in the EMD, generating the EMD itself. So this username, password for accessing the Siebel EAS, and the connect string. I have given an example here, so you can take a look and check with your Siebel admin for the correct connect string for your Siebel application version, and also the language code. The example here given ENU for English. ResNet support we have seen in detail. So the default value is true. In case you are not setting any value, it's going to do the attach-detach for the connection. Moving on to the next slide. Activation specific properties. This is for the inbound operation. This is going to be same as the outbound processing, the connection factory properties. The only difference is we are going to have the event component name, which we have created in the previous steps for the inbound operation. Moving on to the next slide. I'm on slide 15, error handling. So any Siebel exceptions thrown during the business service or business object integration will be captured by the adapter, and it's going to process the exception and will log into the logs. And the resource adapter will throw the resource exception based on the error that occurring during the request processing. We are going to see the exceptions which are thrown by the resource exception in the upcoming slides. So we'll go in detail. We'll move to the next slide. Okay, I'm on slide number 16. Here are the example for the outbound error handling. I'm not going to go through each and every exception, but to give example here, connection failed exception, most of them are self-explanatory. So the connection failed exception, it will be thrown when there is a connection failure during the process. Login failed exception, in case the username password is incorrect or for some reason the Siebel EAS is not liking the parameters, then it's going to throw the login failed exception. And the resource exception is will be thrown for any other types of problems. Moving on to next slide. I'm on slide 17, inbound error handling. This is again the same as the outbound error handling. We are going to throw the same kind of exception and also the resource exception. The additional thing here is in case any error occurs at the event store, it's going to throw in resource exception. Moving on to next slide. So I'm on slide 18, problem determination. We have covered a lot of problem determination steps in the previous steps as well, how to configure the log files and where to configure the log files. Also, the WebSphere process server, which is which going to generate the log system dot log and the system error dot logs, where you can see if there are any runtime errors, and adapter log files. As we configured at the EMD, at the WID tool, or also you could change those parameters at the admin console at the runtime by changing the RAR file custom properties. It's going to spool all the adapter-related log files into those files. We can also set up the log level. You can do at the admin console. For example, going to the application server by choosing the server name. If you go to the troubleshooting, we can do the log and traces to set the log detail levels. Another option is to modify the packages. So when we do the packages, we can set the log level for the required package. For example, if we want for the base classes, then we can set for base class. Or if you are interested only for the Siebel properties, then we can do at the Siebel adapter level itself. For example, if we set the com.ibm.j2ca.base, then it's going to spool for the base classes. So that means everything In case if you want specific to the Siebel adapter, then we can do a com.ibm.j2ca.siebel. So it's going to do only for the Siebel. Also, the logging level, we can set to the FATL to audit. So there are various levels like FATL, severe, warning, and audit based on our requirement and the stage we are in. Say, like if you are in the configuration level, then we need to have detail logging. In case if it's we test it thoroughly and deploying it into the production, then it's a good idea to have in the minimal level, so it there won't be any additional overheads due to the logging. So once we do this one, then we can apply these changes, so that will be saved. And there are two ways, as you are familiar with the application server, you can do static and dynamic. If you do static, then you need to restart the application. So that's about the problem determination. I would also like to give some tips. Say like when you're developing the interface, in case you are running into any issue, the first step I would recommend is to check at the Siebel application level for the functionality. Say you're developing creating the account object, then make sure you're using the adapter username, password, and logging into the UI, and testing the create operation. In case it throws any exception, then even the adapter will not work. So first fix that and make sure it is working. Then run the test with the adapter. And also, when you're running the ESD for generating the SDOs and the EMD, it's going to generate the various objects. For example, if you are generating for a business object, say account business object, it's going to generate all the MVLs associated to it, and also pick list and also simple link. But you have to choose the appropriate one because it is generating all three objects, but we may not use all three. We will use either one. So in case you are not familiar with this one, check with the Siebel administrator to see which one you have to use and use the appropriate one. And the very basic one is checking the Siebel, the username password, whether it has the enough privilege to do the operations. Say when we are doing the insert, it should have the create privilege. So whatever the operation you are intended to do, try to test them in the UI by logging in the username, password you are going to use, and make sure you are able to perform all the operations. So that concludes our presentation now.
Thank you. The question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you would like to ask a question, please do so by pressing the star key followed by the digit 1 on your touch-tone telephone. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, please press star 1 on your touch-tone telephone to ask a question. And it appears there are no questions.
At this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation. We hope you join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the Webster Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on this site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Damu, for presenting today.
Thank you.